Welcome to the Sportscast, July 21st, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. And if you are listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. And visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and also download our app, The Sportscast. And also go on Twitter, The Sportscast One. Hit that smash those buttons all through Facebook, Twitter. You know, all you can do. The Milwaukee Bucks have won the NBA championship last night, defeating the Phoenix Suns in six games, winning four straight. Unbelievable! And joining us all the way from Atlanta, a man that thinks that the Hawks can also beat the Suns in six games. AC from Hawks Fan TV, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Santiago.
Yeah, AC, you're awesome. Last time, you're probably the number one Hawks fan in the world.
I'm definitely up there for sure. We have a pretty strong, passionate group of fans in Atlanta and all over the world. So I don't want to discredit any of those guys. But yeah, I'd say I'm up there for sure, top five for sure.
Anyways, the Milwaukee Bucks are champions, AC. They defeated the Suns 105-98 last night. They were going back and forth in the first half. But when it came down to the third and fourth quarter, it felt like the Bucks had this in the bag. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, that was definitely the same feeling I shared last night as well. And, you know, it's a feeling that I'm pretty familiar with. That's kind of how I felt in a few of those games against that Hawks series in the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 5 and Game 6 specifically. So, you could kind of see the energy and the momentum shifting towards the Bucks team. And right around kind of that 2.5, 3 minute mark, you kind of got a sense that, you know, the series was ending last night, and it did. So props to Giannis and that whole Bucks organization. It was well deserved on their part.
Giannis Antetokounmpo had 50 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. AC, what a performance. Before the series, AC, he had a injury, extended knee injury. He had a great series. What were your thoughts over his performance over last night?
Yeah, he definitely had a great series for sure. Definitely well-deserved of the MVP. I was shocked just how quickly he even came back from that hyperextended knee. What was it, game four against Atlanta. So I thought he was definitely done for the rest of the year. It looked a lot worse than I guess it really was, but I thought in my head there's absolutely no way that he's coming back against the Hawks or in the finals if they make it. And next thing you know, he's, you know, suited up for game one of the finals just a week later. So, you know, he's a freak of nature athlete, just absolute incredible body that he has over there, and props to the medical team over there in Milwaukee to get him ready. But he is a great player. He's arguably a top three player in the NBA. So I'm not too surprised about his performance, after kind of game one and two, when I realized, okay, his knee's fine. Okay, like that's not going to be a whole big of an issue. So once after the first two games kind of settled in, Giannis was back to normal pretty much. So, this is a two-time MVP that we're talking about, and he was a man on a mission. A lot of people were discrediting the Bucks, talking trash about Giannis, saying, you know, the whole Bucks are going to go into rebuild after they get bounced in the playoffs this year. And, you know, he shut a lot of haters up, and, props to him for winning that first ring at age 26, you know, well-deserved. And, that Bucks team is going to be a tough out for years to come, for sure.
Especially for the Hawks.
Yeah, especially for the Hawks. Now, I'm still a little biased. You know, Santiago, it's a touchy subject. I still think if Trae Young had not gotten hurt in game three, we would have been playing the Suns and probably would have beat them. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I digress. I don't want to get into it that much. But, the Bucks team is a good team. I still think a fully healthy Hawks team would have gave them a run for their money. And, you know, we're this whole entire playoffs, the Hawks were the only team to beat the Bucks on the road. So that says a lot about this young team, and the Hawks are only going to get better. But, you know, I think this is kind of the pinnacle of the Bucks. A lot of good things had to go the Bucks' way to get to this finals run. The Nets missing a lot of key players. KD having a toenail on the three-point line. If he would have hit that, which he did, you know, they would have been out. Trae Young never getting hurt in the conference finals. DeAndre Hunter not getting hurt. You know, it's a lot of things like that. The Bucks overall are still a great team, but yeah, they definitely had the basketball gods looking down on them this season. But you know, the Hawks are, their championship window is wide open. We have, you know, 7, 8, 9 years of prime basketball from Trae Young and all of our other core pieces. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Which you brought up some good topics in that answer right there, and I'm going to dive into it, because what if it was a perfect world, AC? What if the Nets were super healthy, the Lakers were super healthy? Would have we seen the same outcome?
You know, it's tough to say. I don't want to be the guy to discredit a team after they've won, because, you know, it's still, as we know, Santiago, it takes a lot to win a title in any professional league, and you know, you have to get it done regardless, and the Bucks did. But yeah, in my humble opinion, this is just my opinion for all you listeners out there, yeah, I think definitely a healthy Bucks team with Kyrie Irving and James Harden not suffering from that Achilles or quad or whatever it was, I can't remember, I think they would have most likely beaten the Bucks probably in 5 or 6. I mean, we saw what KD did by himself against them, and basically a crippled James Harden with no one else on the team, and they took him to 7. So, I think the Nets fully healthy, even against my Hawks, they would have come out the East. They would have beaten us, because I just think that trio of KD, Harden, and Kyrie Irving is just a little bit too much firepower for any of the other teams in the East right now. So I think the Nets would have gone out the East a healthy Lakers team definitely could have made some noise, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, LeBron is still aging, and although he played a great series, it just wasn't enough. I don't think that roster that the Lakers have, even with the healthy LeBron and AD, is still enough to have gotten out to the West in this particular season. But I think a healthy Kawhi and the Clippers, they easily would have beaten the Suns in the conference finals. So yeah, I think if all goes right and no one gets hurt, I think it would have been the Suns against the Nets in the NBA Finals, with the Clippers and the Nets in the Finals, and the Clippers winning probably in 7 against the Nets. That would have been my prediction.
Phoenix Suns won the first 2 games of this championship series, AC, and they lost 4 straight, which is, I think, is never. It could have been done, probably been a sweep, probably sometime in the past, but, you know, winning 2 games, been losing like the rest. What happened to the Suns?
You know, I think that's a tough question to answer. Obviously they looked great those first 2 games. We all thought, oh God, you know, is it possible that the Suns sweep the Bucks? We don't know. You know, that was a thought in a lot of NBA fans' mind. And then as quickly, you know, we quickly realized when the series shifted to Milwaukee, a lot of that changed. So I think it was kind of that kick in the mouth that maybe the Bucks needed. It's similar to what happened to them against the Hawks series, where we took game 1, kind of rattled them a little bit, and they kind of had to wake up a bit. So I think those first 2 games is exactly what they needed. I think overall, if you look at the rosters, I think definitely the Bucks have a more talented team than the Suns. So that's not too much of a surprise there, but you saw it in the postgame pressers. I mean, I think it was after game 2 when they went down 0-2, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday were interviewing with the team, you know, after the game, and they were like smiling and laughing, which in your heads you're thinking, okay, you guys are down 0-2. You just got lost. You just lost again. Going back to Milwaukee, like, why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? And I think they knew, like, all right, we just have to buckle down. If we play to the best of our ability, we should be able to beat this team if they play to the best of their ability. And I think overall, at the end of the day, talent definitely will prevail. And they just have more talented players than the Suns. And I also think that Chris Paul is just a kind of an overrated, overhyped player. So, he choked, and it is what it is.
Yeah, that is the truth. He did not live up to that moment, 16 seasons. He scored 26 points. A lot of pressure was on Chris Paul. A lot of people say Chris Paul has to step it up. Booker had he had 19 points last night. But Chris Paul said he will not be retiring after this season. AC, do you think the Suns can come back to this level again, or what are your thoughts?
To make it back to a finals, you know, I wouldn't bet on that. But, you know, at the end of the day, they still have a fairly talented young core, similarly to what the Hawks have. Not as deep, in my opinion, but, you know, they still have a young Devin Booker. I think he's only 24 years old. DeAndre Ayton's only 22 years old. Mikal Bridges, you know, they have a couple of good pieces. You know, obviously the core being Booker and Ayton. So I definitely think for years to come, there'll be a perennial kind of playoff team in the West. Do they have enough, especially once Chris Paul leaves? Will they have enough to make it back to the finals? Probably not, unless they get another pretty high elite level all-star player. I wouldn't bank on them making it to the finals again next year. Like I said, a healthy Clippers team would have probably beaten them pretty easily. So yeah, they have a good young core, though, so I'm excited to see them. I'm happy for Devin Booker to even make it to a finals. But, the clock struck midnight for their Cinderella story. So we'll see what happens next year. I have them probably as like a, you know, top 5-6 seed in the West. They'll definitely make the playoffs, but, you know, probably make it to the second round and lose there.
Yeah, that's something that the Suns has talent, of course, is an aging Chris Paul as well. You know, he did have some injury issues before this series a bit. Now, Booker, I've been hearing people compare him to Kobe, Dwayne Wade. Who would you compare Booker to?
You know, it's funny. So he definitely has flashes of Kobe Bryant's game. You know, he definitely resembles a lot of Kobe. He has that mama mentality. It's just when you look at his offensive package and how he scores, his fluidity on the court, it looks very similar to Kobe. So I understand those comparisons. It's not a coincidence that this man has a 70-point game in his career. So he definitely has that mama mentality, that killer instinct when he's in the zone. He definitely resembles more of Kobe than Dwayne Wade. You know, because Devin Booker's jump shooting ability, you know, Dwayne Wade wasn't all that great of a jump shooter. But, yeah, I mean, Kobe, I think the Kobe Bryant comparison is fair. Obviously, he still has ways and ways to go before he's even remotely on the same level as Kobe Bryant. But as far as just visually and aesthetically, he definitely looks a lot like, you know, Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, which is interesting because there's a lot of Kobe references in this series because Kobe was a mentor to Giannis, which it was kind of unknown for a bit, but it became more known since Kobe died. Giannis, AC, do you expect them, you know, to win more championships consecutively now? Or do you think, you know, hey, this is just a 1-year fluke? But what is the future of the Milwaukee Bucks looking forward to you?
I think, well, he's a great player. He's a elite, you know, super player, top three in the league. He definitely has the talent to make a couple more finals appearances, especially if he stays in the East. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he finished his career with, you know, 2-3 championships when it's all said and done. That's very possible. If he stays with the Bucks, I don't foresee him, unless the Bucks somehow recruit another, you know, superstar or, you know, better players down the line, I don't think that we'll see any more championships being hoisted in Milwaukee in the near future. Because, like I said, a healthy Nets team, a healthy Hawks team, hopefully down the line, we'll definitely be able to bounce them in the playoffs consecutively. So, yeah, I don't know. I got to see how the offseason shakes up. I got to see kind of where the teams are at going into the new season and what the roster is looking like. But Giannis is a great player. When you have Giannis on your team, you're always going to be kind of a title contender, right? He kind of is like, you know, in that tier of LeBron where no matter what, who's around you, if you have Giannis on your team, you're going to make it deep in the playoffs at the very minimum. So, yeah, it's possible. Off topic, you know, I've been advocating for Giannis to come to Atlanta actually for the longest because he would literally be the perfect player to play alongside Trae Young. because he needs, I mean, I know they have Chris Middleton, they have Drew Holiday to kind of, you know, bail them out this series and win that championship. But yeah, a healthy Nets team, healthy, fully healthy Hawks team probably beats the Bucks. And Giannis needs an elite perimeter player to really create for himself, facilitate, and throw those lobs up to Giannis. So I think if Giannis were to ever come to Atlanta, if he had a change of heart and decides to leave Milwaukee, I think it would easily be, you know, 3, 4, 5 championships in Atlanta if he played with Trae Young, because they're, Giannis is only 26. He's still really, really young. So he has about 7, 8 years of good basketball left, in my opinion. So, so yeah, if he comes to Atlanta, I think he'll finish with like 10 rings. But if he doesn't, then just maybe 1 or 2.
Which, let me pick it back on that topic. You know, he said last night that he, you know, he decided to stay in Milwaukee because I think he had the option about season or 2 seasons ago to go somewhere else, but he opted in to stay with Milwaukee and to win a championship with the team that he has drafted, where he got drafted. Now, I don't know, you know, obviously he's young, you know, he could possibly leave. Will he be a Kevin Durant, you know, leave because he doesn't win enough championships, but he's won this championship. This could change the whole dynamic for him to stay a little bit longer. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. This championship definitely, and I'm sure this was a big relief for all Bucks fans around the world, is if they didn't win this year, yes, we all heard Giannis say this, I think it was last year, whenever he signed that Supermax deal with Milwaukee to stay. You know, he made a vow to win in Milwaukee. He wants to stay here and try to bring a title home. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of players say that. Damian Lillard even said that, you know, he wants to be loyal to Portland and, you know, that winning a championship isn't the most important thing, stuff like that. But then now we're hearing stories of him wanting to get out and obviously win. Because at the end of the day, as much as a player says he wants to be loyal and, you know, winning isn't everything, you know, it's pretty clear that these competitors want to win. You know, that's the biggest factor. And if they hadn't have won this year, that they probably weren't going to win next year. And so given that, I mean, he probably would have had a change of heart after probably another year or two. And he probably would have tried to request out of Milwaukee and see what happens from there. But because they won this year, I think it definitely increases his likelihood of staying. And, I mean, he's done his job, though. On the flip side, he's done his job. He won a title in Milwaukee. So if he does realize that this was kind of a lucky year, I don't know if we're going to be able to compete for the foreseeable future, then he's probably going to want out and join another team. But, you know, I'm not a mind reader, Santiago, so I'm not exactly sure.
And I don't have a magic ball either. But, yeah, this definitely will prolong his stay in Milwaukee. And you know, these mid-sized cities are very, very complicated because a lot of these players, you know, a lot of these big city teams usually win, you know, like they win championships more likely and have a player of stardom go to these cities like L.A., Miami. But New York is the exception. But of course, you got Brooklyn. The Knicks is probably getting back into that realm, but we'll see in the future. Before we go, AC, hypothetically, you did mention a little bit about it. What would it look like if the Hawks, you know, went up against Phoenix? How would the series turn out?
Oh, we would have beaten Phoenix in 5 games, 5 or 6 wow, at the latest. There's not a single person on that team that would have been able to stop Trae Young or even slow him down, in my opinion. Then you have all these shooters on the perimeter with Kevin Huerter, Danilo Gallinari, Bogdanovich. I mean, the list goes on. I just think the offense would have been too much for the Suns. And we have more versatile pieces on defense, in my opinion, that could have been able to slow down Devin Booker, Chris Paul, versus what, you know, Phoenix could have implemented on Trey and our team. So, you know, when you stick like Kevin Huerter, who's 6'7", 6'8", athletic wing player on someone like Devin Booker or Cam Reddish, you know, we have players like this that we just have. We're more equipped to stop Devin Booker and CP3 than what the Suns are to stopping Trae Young and the rest of the Hawks offense. So, in my opinion, we would have won that series pretty convincingly. We should have been that team to play them in the finals because, you know, and this is a hill I'm going to die on, Santiago. Like, if Trae Young, that whoever that referee was, Sean Wright, I believe his name was, in game three, standing right behind Trey for whatever reason. And of course, it's just a freak accident. He slips on the guy's foot, and then next thing you know, he's out for the next two, three games. And it just completely derails any finals aspirations that we had. And then, of course, we're missing our second best player in DeAndre Hunter, which, if you don't know who he is yet, we saw a small glimpse of him in the New York Knicks series, shutting down Julius Randle, hitting timely shots. This man was an 18-point-per-game scorer playing elite-level defense before his injury come, like, February of this year. And ever since he came back from his injury, he just wasn't the same. He was playing basically hurt the whole entire time, and then we had to shut him down before the Sixer series even started. So I'm praying for a full, healthy recovery this offseason, because when he's fully healthy, you know, this man, DeAndre Hunter, is going to be a 20-point-per-game scorer for us, playing elite defense. He's a two-way wing, and, you know, you pair that up with someone like Cam Reddish, Trae Young, and all those other guys that we have in Atlanta, it makes for a very, very dangerous team. So I'm excited. I'm already looking forward to the next season. You know, that's where my mind's at. We got the draft coming up next week, and as soon as the draft's done, my mind is getting ready for the new season, because we're right around the corner in October. It's going to be here any second.
Yes, and what will Hawks do for the draft? Anything you've heard lately?
You know, there's a lot of players we've worked out, a lot of second-round talent. However, I'm sure as we get closer to the draft, we'll work out more first-grade talent prospects. But the biggest need right now is backup point guard. We need a backup point guard to really run that second unit when Trey's sitting on the floor or on the bench. And so that's the biggest need. There's a lot of, intriguing prospects. Nashawn Hyland, who I actually did a video on a couple weeks ago, he's a combo guard out of VCU, who's very, very talented, can shoot the rock like no other, and he's a bucket getter. We have Trey Mann out of Florida, who's another backup point guard, who's a 6'4 guard, can facilitate, can score. So he's another interesting prospect. And also Jared Butler out of Baylor, another kind of combo guard wing player who shot 43% from the three-point line his entire last season of college basketball. So elite level shooter, plays two ways. He's a defender. He plays great defense as well. So those are my three names that I would be looking out for: Bones Highland, Jared Butler, and Trey Mann. It's going to be one of those three if I had to guess. Those are my three most favorite, at least. So well, I'm looking forward to the draft.
Looking forward for the Hawks and their future. And, of course, always looking for a Knicks and Hawks rivalry for next year's playoffs. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Knicks, if you talk to other Hawks fans, we're not even worried about the Knicks. They still have a long ways to go. Unless they somehow get Damian Lillard and he comes to New York, then maybe that's more competitive. But the Knicks, that's a cakewalk for us. I'm more worried about the Bucks and the Nets.
Exactly. Atlanta has made a stamp, and of course AC's here to give us an update, because I do think Atlanta is a team of the future, at least in the East. Anyways, before we go, AC, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about the Hawks?
Yes, sir. My Twitter is HawksFanTV, YouTube channel at HawksFanTV as well. We also have our website coming up shortly, publishing live by next week. So tune in for all the best Hawks coverage, news, rumors, debates that your heart desires. And but Twitter and YouTube is definitely the best way to reach us, at HawksFanTV. We post weekly and daily content all on our channel, all on our Twitter feed. New videos actually about rumors about Danilo Gallinari being traded, but possibly this offseason, as a video we'll upload later today. So tune in for that. But Santiago, I really appreciate you having me on today.
Appreciate it. And of course, you can visit us on thesportscast.net or on our Twitter, thesportscast1. AC Rama, appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Yes, sir. Thank you.